Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And our phone number here, 855-853-4802, to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also right in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. So plenty of ways to get your real ghost stories to us here at the program. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
How are you?
I am doing just fine. I have like smudges on my glasses, and I have this, you know, the microfiber cloth things?
Uh-huh.
I have one. I can't find it at this moment. Oh, there it is. It's back there. But I think I've like microfibered it out.
Oh, really? It's time to get a new one?
I think so, because it's no longer super microfibery. It almost like makes the glasses dirtier, but I continue to use it for whatever reason. It's the definition of insanity.
Yeah, you should get a new one.
So there you go. On today's episode, we have lots of calls from you guys all over the world, to be completely honest. So excited to hear that. All the way, one from Japan, I see on our list today.
And we don't get many calls from Japan.
Is that a first?
It is.
As far as we're aware of?
As far as we're aware of.
Okay. I'm excited about that. So that, of course, if you have a real ghost story, you know how to get them to us. I want to let you know, Seeing Ghosts, episode 4, by the time of this thing hitting the air, it is out. I actually recorded it earlier today, but our shows are taped about a week or so in advance. So it is out for your enjoyment. And if you've not signed up to be an EPP yet to check out Seeing Ghosts, episode 4 has some pretty interesting stuff on it.
Oh, really?
All the way from a apparition of what appears to be kind of like a lady,
mm-hmm,
floating around the front yard of the ghost house in my hometown, or the abandoned house in my hometown. That we talk about quite a bit, one out on Highway K,
mm-hmm,
which is right where I grew up, about a mile away. First photo I've ever seen that actually has something in it.
Okay.
Other than just the creepiness of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's in there. Also, look at my list right over here. We've got a haunted lighthouse photo. Mm-hmm. Somebody took a photo of that, and that's a Texas lighthouse.
I didn't know we had them down there.
Yeah, down by the ocean.
Okay.
So there's that. There's what appears to be some sort of guy, like, kind of crouched over in an area where there shouldn't be someone,
mm-hmm,
by the lighthouse. That's in there. A real creepy photo that someone took on their camera of one of our listeners, Tony in, where is he?
Savannah?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I don't know. His name's Tony, though. That's how I remember it.
Okay.
But he's one of our listeners, and it's a picture of him that's just on his couch, and there appears to be some very creepy arms coming around and hugging him, transparent. And there looks like there's something else sitting next to him on the couch. It's very bizarre.
Somebody, a ghost photobombed him.
Well, almost, yeah. I mean, and there's perspective in it, too. It's not just like, it's not an overlay, mm-hmm, at all, you know, where it's like, oh, there's, you know, something that overlaid the photo. It's clear, like, there's two arms. Like, one's coming down and one's, like, around his neck. But it's, like, not like a strangling hug. It's more like a, I'm going to put, like, lean in and put my arm around you for this photo here on your couch.
That's funny.
And it is creepy. It's one of the creepiest ones I think I've ever seen. And the fingers are weird. I mean, they look like normal fingers in theory, but they kind of have that But kind of long, kind of pointy.
I just have to take your word for it. They scare me too much.
Oh, it's creepy. It's a creepy photo. Also, there's a story in there of a child and what they were seeing. It was what the child drew. We show the drawing that the child drew of this thing that many family members have seen throughout their life. They've never shared the story of this haunting with their kids. And then the kid sees this thing, asks if ghosts can go through walls.
Mm.
And the mom's like, yeah, they can do whatever they want. And then the kid comes up with the name of the thing, which is a name that all the other mom knows, sisters know, because they've seen this too as kids. And then draws the, you know, it's a child drawing.
Sure.
But it matches, like, what, you know, some very distinct things with the clothes.
Oh, wow.
The clothing that the adults had seen. And there's also a real estate photo in there. Of a fun listing on an MLS that I love those because you never know what you're going to get when you're house hunting. And so a ghost house hunting photo. And there's also one with some spooky eyes out in a barn, too, and like a ghostly apparition. So there's lots of good stuff in there. It's EPP4. See it all for yourself when you sign up to or Seeing Ghosts Episode 4. Sign up to see that when you sign up to be an EPP on our website. You can go right there at ghostpodcast.com. And, of course, you get that and all the bonus EPP episodes as well. So lots of bonuses there. It's a good one.
Did you have to readjust the camera after the weekend's earthquake?
No. Well, I always move them. The camera in the corner does not just sit there.
Okay.
Like, it gets moved to come over here. But, yes, we did have another earthquake over the weekend.
We had a big one for here.
I was shaken.
Yeah.
First, I thought it was children because I was... at a hair cutting place with Harper getting her hair cut.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was some child shaking the couch I was sitting on. And I looked over to this woman who was sitting at a chair, like kind of next to me. And we just kind of looked at each other like, earthquake? Because she was feeling it too. Like, I think so. Because I was searching for like children.
And see, our listeners that live in areas prone to earthquakes, you know, the makeup of the ground here is different to where when we have an earthquake, it's a lot... It's kind of like I had somebody give me the definition or the analogy. It's the difference between dropping a rock into mud and dropping a rock onto concrete as far as the sound.
Okay.
So we are essentially like what happens if you drop a rock on the concrete. Our earthquake waves are a lot shallower and a lot, you know, a five-pointer is a big earthquake here.
Yeah, and you can hear it. It sounds like a train or something.
It's
weird.
Whereas some of our, you know, our listeners on the West Coast, they're like, five-pointers, nothing, you know?
But we don't normally get them here. We're not supposed to get them here.
It still freaks us out. It's the weirdest thing.
So, yeah, lots of fun stuff. Because there was a lot of things that went through my mind when I felt that earthquake. I was thinking, okay, child, first of all, rational.
Mm-hmm.
No child. Ghost. But this is like a new development. That it's like, I don't think, oh, earthquake.
Yeah.
So ghost was one of the possibilities there.
Ghost came up before earthquake.
It was like right there.
Okay.
But then my rational sense. Oh, no. Still one more rational option here. Earthquake. So there you go. Let's go to our first caller of the day. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Matt. I live in Delaware, and I volunteer at a local facility that does adult day health care for patients with disabilities. And it's kind of a day program, if you would. And, on occasion, I will go and help my sister, who is a staff there. And recently, over the weekend, we had a cleaning crew come in and do the floors like they do every other month. They do. They'll come out and redo the floors, you know, so the floors look nice and before they have inspections and such. So in order to get into the building to take all of the furniture down from where we have placed it, before the clients come in around 8 o'clock, so me and my sister have to go in early, and we have to go in pretty early because it's a lot of stuff that we have to take in and move out, trash cans and food preparation equipment and stuff like that. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to go and put everything back in the television room. And there's a big television stand with VHS tapes and stuff like that. And my sister had told me to move these shelves back in And the basic way I could say is that this room has two windows, and the blinds are always shut, just so that it's easier for the patients to see. The movie's being shown on the TV, and we had to put these shelves back, like I told you, like I just said. And I went to go over and move these shelves back, and this is close to not even 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's still very dark out. And I look over in one of the corners where we have these chairs with loungers put up, and I look over and I see this dark entity that is in one of these chairs, and it's just, I see it, and I could have been staring at it for I don't know how long, but it wasn't until my sister had asked me if I had finished putting something up, and of course that snapped me out of it. And when I looked back in the corner, it wasn't there anymore. But when I saw it, it felt like it was propped up in the chair. And so it reminded me, somehow it just reminded me of a patient that we had there. And I'm not going to give the patient's name out, but I'll just call him Bob. So Bob was in a power chair, and he would always take his lunch in the TV room because, you know, that's the way he liked it. No one's really going to begrudge him for what he wants. And so he always watched his movies. He always ate his lunch in the TV room, and he was never a mean person. And then I didn't think twice of it. You know, then I just thought, well, maybe I saw something. And, you know, it's just, a lot of times you don't know what to think of something until you, like what I'm about to tell you. So without a second thought, I had asked my sister, who has access to client records, that she had this person under her care. Like, she would have to contact her and stuff like that. There's people in charge of them would have to contact her. And come to find out that this gentleman had passed away over the weekend. And he was to say this was over Super Bowl weekend. And we were rearranging the stuff Monday morning, and apparently that he had died on Saturday when they got the call Monday morning. And it just sent, you know, of course, when they make an announcement whenever an old patient that used to be in the program, you know, dies, and they made that announcement, and it just sent chills, because I was like, maybe I saw Bob in the chair. You know, maybe he's here at night at the center and watching everything and keeping everything in shape when we're not here. So I definitely feel very creeped out whenever I have to walk through that room to get to another part of the building. It will always give me creeps from now on. But anyway, that's my story. So I hope that I hope I get to hear it sometime. So I have other stories, and I hope that I will get to either write them or leave another message for you guys. All right, keep up the good job, guys. I am a DPP officially, so I look forward to kicking back and binge listening to all these bonus episodes that you guys have. All right, guys, keep up the good job. Bye.
Thank you for the story, Matt. I think it's not really a question of did you see Bob? You saw Bob.
Yeah, it's funny how even though it was all a dark figure, you knew who it was. You know, they have a way of just letting you know who they are.
Well, it's kind of like what we've talked about before here, where there's, you know, sometimes people have a feel to them.
Yes.
Whether you call it their aura or whatever. You know, there's a thousand ways to describe that. But, you know, you could almost, you know, people that you interact with on a daily basis or a fairly regular basis.
Sure.
You know, if I were to shut my eyes and, you know, the circle of, I don't have a ton of people that I interact with on a regular basis, but I don't know, maybe 5-10 people.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to just shut my eyes and then have people come into this office here and sit in front of me and not say a word, and I had to guess who they were, I could probably do it.
Yeah.
You know, just, I mean, just base it on your other senses that exist. And maybe smell is one of them, you know, because people have sense.
Sure.
You know, and maybe hearing is one of them too. But you just get a feeling.
Uh-huh.
You get a feeling of who is around you. And if that's someone that was with regularly, and he said it just felt like it was that person.
Sure.
Their face wasn't visible. They didn't say anything, but I just felt like that was who it was.
Yeah.
That I think is one of those senses that plays into that.
I think it sticks around even after death.
Exactly. So thank you for sharing that that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. And thank you for being an EPP as well and supporting this little program we called Real Ghost Stories Online. Got another caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Marcus from Minnesota. Start off like everyone else does. You guys do an amazing job. Love the show. Been listening for a few months now. And we'll hopefully become an EPP soon here. Do a lot of driving, so your show does help a lot. Keeps me company during a lot of these drives. But anyway, got a story to tell. It's a weird story. Anyway, it'll start off. I was in from South Dakota originally, from a reservation out there, and lived in Minnesota just about all my life, though, but family still all lives out there. And when I was 18, I graduated high school and decided to have my little graduation party, I guess, out there. So about 5 or 6 friends of mine came along out there, about a 10-hour drive from where we lived in Minnesota. So we all went out there, and we're staying with my family for 4 or 5 days. But anyway, we're always into the, you know, paranormal and stuff. And out there on the reservation, there's a lot of different activity, from spirits to Bigfoot, you know, all kinds of stuff that people report on and family members of mine have talked about. But my story, there's about, I think, 4 of us that decided to just go out cruising around, around 11 or midnight, and we're just cruising these, you know, really dead highways, no one's really on them, and as we're driving, we take a turn down this one road, and we hear meowing, and we just kind of, you know, brush it off, whatever, and thought it was, you know, maybe the wheels creaking or something, but As we turn, we get down the road, 4 or 5 miles, we come to a stop sign, and in the ditch, there's a little, like, a white cat just in the ditch there. So just seeing it didn't really mean anything at the time. So we turn around, and we kind of made the same cruise, like, 4 or 5 times. And we decided to turn back around, go down the road, and we got back to that first turn where we heard the meowing. And right by that stop sign in the ditch was a white cat again. So we kind of, you know, kind of intrigued, like, what's going on with this cat? But we make the turn, and as we make the turn, we hear meowing. And it's not like muffled meowing from outside. It's inside the car. We can hear this meowing. And so we're all just like, what the hell? So we decide we're going to make this cruise again to see if it happens again. And sure enough, we just went down to the gas station, made a couple turns. We were seeing if we could debunk the noise by it being the wheels or something while we were turning, but it didn't happen. So we went back to that corner again, or we got back to that turn, and sure enough, once we turned, there was the meowing. And so we were just like, what the hell? So we did that probably twice more after that, hearing the meowing again both times. And in our last bit of the cruise, well, before we started heading home, we drove into this little town, a little community area, and we were just turning into this area that used to be an old, what the hell it was, like a nursing home or something, but which nuns worked at. But anyway, we turned into this little area to turn around and start heading back to my family's house. And as we turned in there, just me and my one buddy in the back seat hear this just horrific, loud, growling, scream type noise. It was just so distinct, and both of us still remember it to this day. But we heard it, we start freaking the hell out, and the two in the front seat didn't hear a thing. They didn't know what it was. And then they were looking at us like we were crazy for a minute, because we just start freaking out for no reason. But so that happened. That kind of just had nothing to do with the cat, I don't think. But after that happened, I mean, we were pretty shaken up from that, me and my one friend. But we made our way back home, or back over to my family's. And as we're driving down the road, I decide to take my buddy's camera phone. You know, granted, this is, you know, 11 years ago or so, 12 years ago, when camera phones weren't what they were, what they are today. You know, they weren't that fantastic. So I just decided, while we're driving down the road 70 miles an hour, to stick the phone out the window, just snap a couple pictures for fun. I do that, and, you know, it's, you know, South Dakota, flat, dark, there's no light on the highway. So we do that. I pull the phone back in and start looking through the pictures. And sure as shit, there in one of the pictures in the bottom corner of the screen, there's a freaking white cat, the face of a white cat, like an outline, I guess, of a white cat. You can see the whiskers a little bit, and the eyes and the mouth. You can see everything. It was pretty crazy. And we, you know, I looked at it, and before I said anything, I gave it back to my friend. And so, what do you see? He saw a cat. We got back to my family's, and the next day we just handed him the phone and said, what do you see in that corner there? And everybody said a cat, so it wasn't just our minds screwing with us. But yeah, so that's just something really random that happened. Just still to this day, I have no idea what the hell that meant. I have plenty of other stories, some stuff that's a little more scary, I guess. Nothing that's happened in recent years, but a lot of stuff that happened in younger years. So, yeah, that's about it for that story. If you play it, I appreciate it and look forward to hearing it, and also look forward to hearing more episodes of your show. You guys do, like I said, an amazing job. It's the only show like this I listen to. So, yeah, you guys take care. Thanks. Bye.
Ghost cat. Sorry.
That's okay. I was going to say, I don't think it was really a cat.
What do you think it was?
Something posing as a cat.
Something good? Something bad?
I don't know.
Something indifferent?
Something weird. I mean, for it to make the cat sound within the car, they're going that fast. I mean, if a cat's meowing outside your car and you're going that fast, you're probably not going to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, what are the odds of hearing a ghost cat? Mm-hmm. or really much of any wildlife, right? You know, at speeds going, that is one of the things that kind of stood out to me at first. Like, you're hearing a cat on the side of the road. You're driving. What?
Yeah.
It was, I mean, yeah.
It's not like a crazy barking dog that you're going to hear chasing your car. I mean,
even then, sometimes it's, you know, you just look in your rear view mirror and you're like, oh, look, there's a dog barking. And all you see is it's, you know, its mouth moving. So, yeah. It's hard to tell without there being a whole lot of meaning. Sure. Associated, like, you never, he said he never figured out why it was there, what the purpose was. But yeah, I think it was something else.
Mm-hmm.
An omen of some sort. I don't know.
I don't know.
Good or bad, it could have been. I don't know. Or it could have just been one of those, you know, ghost cats passing through the night.
I could see you doing that if you had the ability to shapeshift, changing into something random like a cat.
And, oh, sure.
Just meowing at people in their cars.
Ghost cat in the night. I'm gonna freak you out, ghost cat in the night. And I would serenade people as the cat.
That's great.
Like, what the hell? Why am I hearing... What? The cat is singing? What's going on? That was Strangers in the Night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I was doing... what was I singing earlier today?
You were serenading me walking through Sam's Club.
Oh, yeah.
You were singing Moon River, except it wasn't Moon River. It was Steak Finger, because they had Steak Finger samples today.
Steak fingers, they're so delicious. I forgot. I had good rhymes going.
You did.
I really did. I can't remember what they were right now.
You put a lot of thought into that.
It was, no, it was just, it was off the cuff. If I was like in a rap battle with Eminem at that moment in time, I could have laid down some funky, fresh beats with my steak fingers rhymes I okay. was dropping.
Yeah. I think the people at Sam's hate us.
Oh, it's great fun. 855-853-4802 is our phone numbers. There's so many bizarre statements that were just made there.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin. Let's go to another caller and hear a real ghost story not involving steak fingers. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Sue from Springfield, Illinois. I wanted to call and tell a story today about antique furniture and having something attached to it, a ghost or a spirit or whatever. I first wanted to start out by saying that Michael Bodine and I are the same age. And so we grew up in the same generation and loved his book, had read it before I had found your podcast. Thought, Tony, that you and Michael did an excellent job with the interview. You played off each other really well. I'd love to hear you guys talk again or interview him again about some more his experiences. But the thing that Michael Bodine said that I wanted to reiterate is that during our generation of during the 60s, 70s, and even 80s, people did not talk about anything with the spiritual realm. They that was taboo, like he even said. I mean, you didn't talk about it. And what is really odd is, because you didn't talk about it, somehow I knew certain things that no one had told me. There weren't books or the internet that you could look things up. So my story starts out with I was pregnant with my first son, and I was doing the nesting thing, getting his nursery all ready and everything. Loved antiques. Had gotten an antique desk secretary with a curio cabinet attached to it. It was a very different piece for a birthday gift from my husband at that time. And it was at my parents' house in the basement until we moved into our home, and then the antique piece was brought into the house and into the living room. And every night for about 2 weeks, I would sit in the middle of the night and just stare at it because it gave me the creeps. I wanted to make sure that that piece was okay to have in my house. Now, where I got that idea, or what made me feel that way or think that there was something maybe tied to it that might be evil or whatever, I have no clue. But after about a week of staring at it for hours on end in the middle of the night, I decided that the antique piece was all right to have in the house. So back to when I was pregnant with my son, we were a struggling young couple back then, and I wanted a rocking chair that looked nice for the living room. And my husband's grandparents lived on a farm, and it was an old an older home, and the barn was very, very old. And they had offered me a rocking chair that they kept in one of their front bedrooms in their little farmhouse. And the rocking chair was solid oak, but it had been covered in layers of white paint. And I always thought it was strange that they kept it closed away. And it wasn't really a junk room, but they kind of would store things they didn't use in this front bedroom. And they showed me the rocking chair, asked me if I'd like to have it. I said, sure, it'd be great. So it was a project for me to strip it, get it all down to the woodwork, reupholster it, and it turned out beautiful. So I put it in the living room. So a few months later, I had my son, and I would get up in the night with him and rock him in that chair when I gave him his bottle and put him back to sleep. And the chair, because it was old, of course, would creak as I rocked in it. And it was kind of a shorter, broader type of a, kind of like a, oh, I just lost the name of the artist, but it was Frank Lloyd Wright, kind of a Frank Lloyd Wright style is the type of rocking chair it was. So as a new mother, I was exhausted because my son was up all day and all night practically. And one night I heard the rocking chair rocking. And I thought, oh, thank God my husband got up tonight to, and let me sleep. And he's taking care of the baby. So I rolled over, and there was my husband sleeping next to me. And I thought, my God, how is that rocking chair? I know that's that rocking chair because it's such a distinctive sound. And our house wasn't real big, so I could pretty much tell, you know, that was where it was coming from, the rocking noise was. And it just, I was just sickened. I thought, my God, how is that doing that? What's going on? So I woke my husband up, told him that he needed to go and look and check on that rocking chair because I knew it was rocking. He finally got up, went in there, came back and told me, no, Sue, it is not rocking at all. I would get up in the night, go get my son, rock him in the chair, put him back to bed, go back to bed, and I would hear that rocking chair start rocking again. And I would just be paralyzed with fear, thinking, what is going on with that chair? And it consumed me. I had gone back to work part-time, and that's all I could think about was that chair and why would I hear it? And my husband would say he didn't hear it. But anyway, one night I had gotten up, and I was totally exhausted, and I had laid down on the couch because I had put my son down, and I figured he was going to be getting up in a few minutes because that was kind of his routine. And I had kind of dozed on the couch, which my back was to the rocking chair. I woke up to hearing the rocking chair moving back and forth, back and forth. And I finally got up enough courage because I was just so scared. I mean, I was so afraid to turn around and see something that I felt like I could just throw up. So I finally got the nerve up, and when I turned around really quick to take a look, it was just barely rocking like it was coming to a stop. And at that moment, I had a flash that I could see a woman sitting in that chair, rocking. She was young and crying for her lost child. So I don't know if that spirit or ghost was tied to that chair, and she was a mother who years ago lost her baby, and the sorrow of it, she would sit and rock. And because I had a child, it maybe brought it back out in her or stirred up her spirit or whatever. I told my husband that the chair had to go because I couldn't take it anymore and I couldn't take her sorrow. And took it back to Grandma's house. And what was really interesting was when I told them the story and said, I know you think I'm crazy, but this is what's happened. They didn't say one word. They totally accepted it. As beautiful as it was, they did not put it, you know, out into the living room or anywhere else. They stuck it back in that front bedroom. Graham, which was what we called the grandma, said that a woman did used to sit and rock in it that owned the farm before them, on the front porch for years, and that it had been in the barn, up in the rafters, and they had brought it back down. I guess they had kind of known the people that had lived there before when they were younger. So I just wanted to call in and say that I do truly believe, and that's without ever having heard anyone talk about, that spirits are tied to and certain pieces of furniture, or like this woman, you know, missing, I feel, was missing her child. You guys do a great job. Love the show. Listen to it every day, every night. Thanks a lot. Have a great evening. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Does that reinforce your don't rock the rocking chairs when they're at an antique store?
No, that has nothing to do with a story like this. But I think it's very, very interesting that she knew when she brought that home that she kind of set it aside for a little bit just to see if it was going to work out or not. You know, I mean, without so much as her even probably realizing that's what she was doing, but that's just kind of the feeling that she got from it. You just know. I think sensitive people just know when there's something attached to an item.
Sure. And that's true. I mean, that's, you know, there's many a times we've gone through antique stores. You're like, nope, we're not going to get that. But honey, it looks great. I've always wanted a meat grinder like this. Look how large. I mean, you could really stick a lot of, you could like put an arm in this one.
Uh-huh.
No, we're not getting that. But you could probably fit a leg. You could put a whole person in this one. This is so bizarre. Why is this here?
Yeah.
You never allow me to get those meat grinders. Antique meat grinder.
No. And I think it was really kind of nice that the grandparents took it back. I think they kind of almost felt like there was a responsibility there.
Sure.
But yeah, if it had been out in the barn, up in the rafters, somebody got tired of hearing that squeaky chair.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. Good story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Shireen from Washington. I've called in a few times before, though I still haven't heard any of my stories. I finally am in a house where I have reception inside with my cell phone. So, you know, maybe that's why I haven't heard my stories, that I was walking my dog and probably was unintelligible. Or I just might not have heard those episodes yet. So, as I said, I am in a new house now. So we bought our first house, and it was made in 1968, so it's about 50 years old. Almost everything in the house is original, like all the wood, got hardwood floors, got wood everywhere. I mean, the kitchen was totally original to the house, with the wood cabinets. It had the original stove still in it. I mean, it's it feels like an older house than it really is. I mean, 50 years is quite a long time, but it feels like the soul of the house is much older. And we love the house. I mean, it's perfect for us. But it had a weird feeling to it. So well, before we bought it, while we were still looking, it was probably like the third time we had come to look at the house. And the light in the kitchen turned on and off and on again on its own. And I kind of thought nothing of it at the time. I thought, well, it could be an electrical issue. It's an old house. Since we've moved in, we've been in here about 3 weeks. None of the lights have had that issue. So I'm kind of thinking it might not have been electrical. And then a week before we had to be out of our apartment, I came into the house. I got the keys, and I was going to do some renovations before we moved in. I had a week to do some ceilings and some painting, and we had to get the kitchen totally redone. You know, so I wanted to keep the original cabinets, but I ended up having to cut a portion of them out and take some tile off the wall to get the new oven in. And, you know, I scraped some ceilings, like I said, I painted. But for the most part, I didn't change too much about the house. The most I did was in the kitchen. But I was here every single day for a week, kind of by myself, working. So on the very first day we come in, we go into the kitchen and we just kind of like give a little tug to the tile on the wall. We're just kind of looking at it to see how secure is it. Is this original to the house too? And of course it is. It comes off really easily. And we weren't expecting it to come off so easily. But the minute the tile started coming off the wall, the whole feeling of the house changed and it got really, I don't know. Like it felt heavy. So we immediately left. We went and we got sage and sweetgrass, and you know, Melody and I, we went through the house and we staged every single inch of it that we could find. We told whatever was there that it was welcome to stay as long as it was friendly and it was not negative. Anything with evil intentions had to leave. This house is ours now. We would be making renovations, we would be changing things, but that we loved the house and we would try to keep it original as much as we could, but we really like this house and we like how it is now, but we're just going to be upgrading it a bit for our family, and that the entity needed to be okay with that. Whatever the energy was in the house, you need to be okay with that or you need to leave. And it felt much better after that, you know. So I got all the renovations done. And while I was here by myself during that week, I did have some weird, creepy feelings. I kept feeling like I was being watched, like somebody else was in the room with me, or that I would walk around a corner and somebody would be standing there, but nobody ever was. It never felt angry or malicious. It was just creepy. It was just that feeling that somebody was always there when really nobody was there. So we moved in a week after that, and we've been like living in the house for about 2 weeks, and everything has been really quiet. I hear creaking, you know, it's an older house. We don't have an upper floor, it's all on one story, but you hear creaking above you, like there is a second story, or like somebody's in the attic. And the attic is not a finished attic. It's just like, you know, open beams and insulation. So, but you'll hear the creaking. We also get a lot of creaking if you walk in certain places in the house. The creak will go all the way up the wall and it's down above you also. So, like I said, nothing much has been happening since we moved in until tonight. I was actually binging on a few of your guys' episodes. Sitting alone late at night, you know, I can't sleep. So I figure I'll listen to a few episodes and get a little bit of gaming in, play a few games, you know, try to make myself tired. So, like I said, I haven't had anything happen until tonight, really. So it's not something I was looking for. And I've listened to your guys' stories in the house before alone and didn't have any experiences. So I don't think it has anything to do with like listening to you guys, but it's just like a weird coincidence that I don't know, listening to your ghost stories and all of a sudden something starts happening. So the first thing that happened is I'm hearing creaking, but it's not just above. It's the creaking that I hear when like my husband gets up to go to the bathroom or to move around. It's a creaking that only happens when somebody's walking on certain floorboards. And I call out and there's silence. There's nobody there. I get up and I look down the hallway. There's nobody there. The noise is somebody walking, but nobody's there. So I go back to what I'm doing. A little bit later, I hear what sounds like melody walking. And I don't mean that it sounds like her, but she wears slippers now, so we have hardwood floors. And the sound that of her walking within slippers is what I heard. It's the kind of shuffling, shuffle, clunk kind of sound when you have slippers on hardwood floors. And it was at least a few steps that I heard, probably about 4 or 5 steps. And it was the exact same sound. I thought somebody had gotten up and was coming into the room or coming down the hallway. I called out there. I went and I checked every room because I heard also a door close. I went out of the room I'm currently in to see if anybody was there. I called hello, and then I heard a door close down the hallway. So I immediately went down and I opened everybody's doors and checked in on them, and everyone was sleeping. I can't explain that. So something's walking around. And I've been up late before in this place since we moved in, and I haven't heard anything. You know, creaking here and there, but not creaking that sounds like somebody's walking around. Not doors closing, not things moving. Like, this is different. But again, it doesn't feel angry or like a bat. It's just that there's something moving to move for. I don't know why it's choosing to move tonight. Yeah, it's kind of creepy. You know, I've done a lot of ghost stuff, so it's easy to keep my cool a little bit, you know, and try not to get too freaked out about it. But I don't know who it is. I don't know if anybody died in the house. It's an old house. In 50 years, somebody could have died. The previous owner was an elderly woman, so I don't know. Maybe she lived here with her husband and he died, so it could be him. The house has only had 2 owners. I don't know anything about the owners before her. So yeah, I'm just not sure who it is and what they want. But I figure, you know, we cleared the place of all the negative energy, so whatever is here has got to be positive or benign, you know? Feel nothing negative about it. But I don't like the idea of having something here that can open and close doors and make the sound of specific footsteps. That's a little weird to me. You know. But I'm not seeing the cat thing anymore, because I haven't seen it in the new house yet. Every now and then I'll feel like I see something move down a hallway or, you know, out of the corner of your eye move. Sorry. But yeah, that's what's going on in the new place. We plan on being here for quite a while and doing a lot more renovations, so I'm sure I'll call in again with new updates on things here.
Creepy story.
Yes, and, you know, I think there's a couple of things going on. I think for one, you know, it was a little old lady's house, whether or not it's the previous owner that they bought the house from,
mm-hmm.
or maybe the lady that had the house before, you messed with her kitchen, whoever she is. And people, you know, 50 years ago, that was the woman's spot. You know, it's not that way as much anymore. Women still feel very attached to their kitchens, but I could see a ghost from that era,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they bought their first house or whatever, that was their home, being very, very attached to that kitchen.
Sure. I mean, just like anybody has their spot in their house,
yeah,
you know, from whatever era it may be. And if that's, you know, where your place was, that's where you'd want, you know, this is where everything should be.
And I'm not saying don't mess with the kitchen, but I think that might be the place that might stir up the most activity with her. But then also, you know, I think that there's the power of suggestion going on with you listening to stories. It's kind of like when somebody talks about bugs and then you feel bugs on you.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of thing. You hear ghost stories and then you think everything's a ghost. And it may be a ghost, it may not be a ghost. I do not have a bug on me. Stop pointing at my forehead. Stop.
It's kind of crawling slowly through your hair right now.
Okay. Thank you.
That's how it is.
It is.
That's how it works.
It is.
You really want to itch your head right now, don't you?
And I just think it's partially because you're more aware.
Sure.
If you're listening to that many stories. But I think, you know, we have so many people write in, they think that more activity happens when they listen to our show. And I think they're just more aware of things mm-hmm. that maybe they weren't aware of before.
I think that is what it is. It heightens the awareness mm-hmm. on the topic itself. And because it is a weird thing that we get. We get that a lot. Like, when I'm listening to the show, do you think that brings out ghosts mm-hmm. or more paranormal activity? And you're more in tune with it
mm-hmm.
By the fact that you're listening. One more caller on today's show. Let's go to our caller from Japan. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Samantha, and I live in Tokyo, Japan. I listen to your show every day, a lot of times for a couple hours a day before I have to go to work. I just recently became an EPP in last December as a Christmas present. I'm kind of freaked out right now because recently I moved into a kind of older apartment in Tokyo, and I live by myself with my cat, and my cat has a lot of balls, toys, and being someone who's not a sensitive and doesn't really have a lot of strange things happen to her, I've just been a little freaked out recently because, like, her super balls and stuff will start rolling around the apartment by themselves. Like, just now, it's about midnight, and I was sitting at my computer, and I look over to the door, and her little ball, it's just a yellow styrofoam ball, rolls in from the kitchen and stops in the living room. And I see my cat, Gigi, jump out from the other direction to play with it, while the whole time I was hoping that it was her that had rolled it into the room. I'm just a little freaked out because this stuff doesn't happen to me. And it's a really tame experience, obviously, compared to what other callers have shared with you. It's just, this was weird, and I was like, who should I call? Probably Tony and Jenny. So I did, and yeah, so I don't know. I guess I was looking for some moral support, but it was cool that I finally got to call you guys with a story, whether, you know, it was kind of mundane or not, I don't know. But all right, thanks for letting me share with you. Bye.
This sort of stuff doesn't happen to me. That's my favorite line when somebody's sharing a ghost story. It's like, well, actually it does, because it just did.
Yeah, it just did. And it's never a mundane story if it scared you.
Sure. If I was a ghost, I would probably still try and play with pets, too.
Yeah.
It's for something fun, you know? And if the pets are more in tune to see you and you have the ability to manipulate a little, you know, cat ball around, you know, I used to have those little fuzz balls that mm-hmm. you know, we'd get from, like, the craft store, and they love those things. And I would imagine if you're basing things that ghosts can manipulate, like, on weight or mass, those are pretty light.
Mm-hmm.
And so probably it'd be one of the easier objects to manipulate if you're dead.
Sure.
So yeah, I would probably be doing the exact same thing as the ghost. I try and really and get it to, like, so the cat, like, is jumping in really weird areas. Like, why is the, you know, just, it would be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Because cats are funny when they're jumping at random things and you don't know why they're jumping at random things. So you got a ghost. It seems to be fairly harmless. So enjoy the show. That's my moral support there.
Yeah. Hopefully things won't escalate at all. It'll just continue mm-hmm. to play with the cat.
and call it good.
Yeah.
Hopefully. If anything else changes, let us know as it's happening. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with us. We do greatly appreciate it. Of course, if you like the show, please consider supporting us. Just keep us on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast person. Get all those bonus episodes, almost 80 of them now, for your listening pleasure. And, of course, access to all of our bonus video content as well. Seeing Ghosts, four of those episodes out now. The latest one just recently posted with all sorts of really great creepy ghost stuff that we talked about earlier in the episode. So enjoy all of that and more. And have the satisfaction of knowing that you're keeping this thing on the air. It's only $5. So please consider doing that on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.